From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, July 29th. Each week, this podcast examines trends and news of interest to the geospatial community. This is Adina Schutzberg in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica in Huntsville, Alabama.
This week, we turn our attention yet again to 3D and its role in geospatial analysis and visualization. Our discussion is prompted by Microsoft's announcement that its recently acquired TrueSpace 3D model creator is now free, and there are now tools to bring those models into virtual Earth. What we want to talk about is what that says about what Google and Microsoft and the geospatial community think about the tools and data required for today's map. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. ArcGIS 9.3 is now available and offers a complete suite of software that improves your entire GIS workflow.
Now, I want to jump right to the news, but just a little bit of a tease. We want you to listen to the entire podcast because we're going to tell you about an upcoming contest where you can help us cover the ESRI user conference and win an iPod Touch. But back to 3D. This past week, Microsoft announced that after having acquired Caligari back in February, it's taken the product that came from that acquisition called TrueSpace and made that free. Now, TrueSpace is a 3D tool set, and you can make models. And instead of having me explain it, I'm going to quote Chris Pendleton. He's at the Virtual Earth and Evangelist blog, and here's how he described the new free offering and how it can be used. Starting today, TrueSpace 7.6 is now available for download for free. And there's a direct connection into live search maps so you can create super high-resolution 3D models using TrueSpace. Then right from the environment, upload the model into live search maps as a collection item. Once you've created your collection, you can import your collection into your Virtual Earth application, and bam, you have your own custom 3D models in your Virtual Earth application. We'll host the models right in our 3D collections cloud. End quote. Now, if you've been following what Google's doing, it sounds an awful lot like what Google did when it acquired SketchUp and made that product free, and you can create your models and upload them. So there's some parallelism going on there, and that's always an interesting situation when one player does something and then the other player does something very similar, and you start to wonder, so what does this mean? Well, that's where we're going today. So let me start with this question. Now that both Google and Microsoft are sort of playing in this create your own models, upload them, share them kind of mode, does that change where the bar is set for 3D? For GIS in general, or just for companies like the Microsofts and the Googles of the world?
Well, my take is that it's only changed it as far as what Google and Microsoft want us to believe in terms of what their platforms offer. I truly believe that visualization is one of the key things, and we've talked about this before, in the coming years for GIS. But in terms of this situation, it's really just a Me Too type of a thing. Now, it's great, it's cool, it looks good, but does it really change what our definition of GIS is? I don't think so. There's no querying, there's no metadata tags attached to it. So, yeah, it's good for what they have, but I don't think it's going to fundamentally change what our concept of GIS is. It only promotes what their view is for their particular applications.
Well, and that's a really good point, that clearly Google first and now Microsoft second decided that we need to have a 3D creation tool. We want it to be free. We want you to be able to create those models and then move them into our virtual environments, our worlds, our maps. Now, what is the motivation there? I mean, these companies are about, well, Google's about advertising. That's how it makes money, right? Microsoft certainly sells software and services and some other things, but why are they so interested in this?
It's a next phase of development. People don't like the flat Earth syndrome that you would get in the first versions of Google Maps and Virtual Earth. It's not a... We don't like the flat Earth view. We appreciate a three-dimensional perspective using topography, using 3D models. That's where they're going. Whether it's a benefit down the road to advertising is perhaps a different play. But what they're trying to do is enhance their platform so it is usable for things like travel and tourism. And, yeah, that's a solid business model, and I think that's where they're going.
And that's fundamentally different from the 3D that we talk about within the GIS arena, which is all about modeling and line of sight and dispersion models of air pollution and much more science kinds of things versus visualization kinds of things.
Well, okay, so one of the things that they showed with TrueSpace was a neat little flyover. You start up high, you go in, you know, from a satellite image all the way down to the ground level. You go into a building and you tour around the building, and of course, looking out the windows, you still see the terrain. From a geospatial perspective, if I'm an economic development person or if I'm an urban planner, yeah, that's great stuff. I want to see that. And now I've got it delivered to me on a platform that is relatively free, or I can get my CAD folks to add this into a model that I want to create for some city planning meeting. So that is really useful. Now, on the back end, how they connect that into a SQL Server database, I don't know. But that's where I think it's going. That's where it should go.
I guess what I'm reading from you is, no, it's not really analysis, and yet, like many of the tools that Google and Microsoft and others have provided, they're very useful to professionals and professionals who also have a hand in traditional GIS.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Now, what I think it has done, and see if you can follow this, is I believe it's collapsed the view of what we want to do with a particular geospatial platform. So just follow my argument for a bit. A long time ago, I had given a workshop in which I defined my four levels of GIS. The first level being the high level national view. It's kind of like, think of the thematic map of a country or United States, where you see counties and states and you render it thematically. The regional view is at a much finer geographic level, census enumeration or zip code level. That's the second one. The local level is a street level view, and my third level is a micro view. Well, those four levels are collapsed. And the micro view, just to further define it, is kind of an inside the building look, kind of the micro geographic look. They're collapsed now with these 3D models. You can get to every one of those views with Virtual Earth or Google Maps or Google Earth. You know what I mean? I mean, if I want to render something, now I can go from the satellite view all the way down inside of a house, so my usability has been radically improved with the ability to go in and do these flyovers and integrate my 3D models with my satellite views, for example.
That's true, and it's interesting that you note that it's Google and Microsoft who have made this usability possible.
But this has been ongoing for years, though, that they've been trying to knit together the CAD view, the three-dimensional perspective view with geospatial information locked into a geospatial model where it's relevant to a database. It's hooked in, you know, to a solid Earth foundation, lat long position.
We've been heading in that direction, but this is, you know, and we have to give both Google and Microsoft credit here. They've made it happen in a way that the CAD companies and GIS companies did not.
Right, but let's not get carried away. I mean, it still doesn't have the metadata. It's still not tied to a spatial database.
For analysis. It's really for visualization at this point, as we understand it.
But don't you think that's the way it's going? I mean, and that's the way they should be pushed to go, except...
I'm sorry, that's the way who should be pushed to go?
Well, okay, that's the way that Microsoft should be pushed to go. To go from a GIS perspective. I don't think that they're going to be pushed, but if I'm a GIS guy and these tools are for me...
Okay, I'm sorry, you're not being clear. They need to be pushed to do analytics? Is that what you're
saying? Need to be pushed to do analytics. They need to tie it to a spatial database. But
okay.
Whether they actually do it is an entirely different thing.
Okay, why would they do it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't see at this point their business model isn't really tied to anything. It isn't tied to the geospatial professional. It isn't tied into advertising that I could see yet. We've just got a free downloadable app here that I know I can tie into Virtual Earth.
Right, and I'm not convinced that as much as people love SketchUp and it's been used to populate towns and cities, and both companies have initiatives going to start, you know, growing these 3D models, I haven't seen those change the face of either environment. Now, certainly the Microsoft one is new, but has that changed Google Earth significantly? Does it change who uses Google Earth? I'm not sure. Does it bring Google in more revenue? Probably not at this point.
So it goes back to maybe some of your initial questions is who's doing it? Why would they do it? What's the purpose here?
I think the jury's still out on that at some level. The really interesting question that I have is, will seeing this and having maybe not geospatial professionals see this, but having their bosses see this, be another one of those pushes back to say, hey, your GIS can't do this, or
well,
I want this from your GIS.
Well, and one of the other interesting graphics that they showed on the TrueSpace website was a building cutaway showing the three-dimensional pipe and infrastructure in that particular building. That, I thought, was an interesting view because that did look very, very useful to an engineer, for example, who wanted to get at that substructure to see the piping, the wiring, the networking that is involved in a utility. So that could be kind of a game changer if it ever goes much further than that.
Right, and that's actually something that I've seen sort of the beginnings of at Autodesk doing something similar with real engineering data.
Well, okay, so let's take Autodesk. I mean, I think Autodesk has certainly played in this game for a long time. Why aren't they making more of a show of it?
That's a really good question. I think these kind of moves have more to do with sort of knocking on Autodesk's door at this point than maybe on ESRI's or MapInfo's or even Intergraph's at this point.
Yeah, because they've been the ones that have been they've played in the gaming environment. They certainly want you to believe that they have the linkage between the engineering computer-aided design and drafting capabilities.
And they've certainly been in the 3D environment and been pulling their user base for years now. Now, not all of it has certainly gone that way, but they're certainly pulling them in that direction.
And you could make that the same argument for Bentley as well.
Hey, and I think it's worth mentioning that the folks at VerySpatial interviewed one of the fellows from Autodesk about their Digital Cities initiative. So that's probably a good podcast to listen to sort of contrast with the discussion that we're having here. What's happening here is that, again, it's Google and Microsoft sort of knitting the things together, putting it in a very accessible environment, and frankly, I think making a free 3D modeling tool available is just great.
Well, and I think it challenges both Autodesk and Bentley at this point because both have come out with statements, oh, we love Google, this is great, it's a great new environment. But now I'm going to choose the tools that Microsoft or Google is going to use if I've got to just simply render something very quick and tie it to a geospatial base. It looks easier. Whether it is easier, it may be a different story, but it certainly looks easier.
I raised the question before a little bit about bosses wanting to have it both ways. I want this 3D visualization, and I also want the analytics of the GIS, and how do we make these two things interoperate? And the next interoperability question then is, if you make these models in SketchUp or in TrueSpace or in your 3D ESRI environment, for example, can you move them between those different platforms? And it's my understanding that all three tool sets do support the Collada standard, which is sort of a 3D interchange form. Now, that's something that has been talked about before. ESRI released a press release about ArcGIS 9.3 supporting Collada. TrueSpace supports Collada. SketchUp supports Collada. It all sounds really good. Whether or not it'll be used that way to move these models back and forth is one question. The other big question, and this goes back to some of the metadata comments you just made, is there are still issues when you take these models and try to plunk them down onto a 3D environment that the Z values don't work out very well, and the buildings often fall sort of half underground. You've probably seen some of that. So we're still not quite at the epitome of visualization that we might like. We've still got to solve an awful lot of problems.
Yeah, and I don't want this discussion to seem like we're falling all over Microsoft and Google at this point, because what I've seen out of Bentley and Autodesk, having attended their user conferences, I mean, they're all over the building information model concept and standards, and yeah, they both are going to support Collatus. So I think they're well down the road of a more sophisticated 3D modeling than what we're seeing here. It's an attempt here to show that some of the visualization tools are fairly easy. Here's a tool that's free, but I still think if you want to integrate your models, I still think you're going to go to an Autodesk or Bentley for a better visualization and to get to the point that you just made, which is making sure that those models fit properly on the Earth's surface.
Right. So it sounds like, as we've seen before, sort of the Microsoft and Googles are pushing the CAD and GIS companies, and the CAD and GIS companies are pushing the Microsoft and Google.
Yeah, so where we end up in the middle is going to be the big question, and it's yet to be seen.
That's all the time we have today. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that the 28th Annual ESRI International User Conference begins next week in San Diego, California, between August 4th and the 8th. On-site registration is available each day of the conference. You can find more information at www.esri.com/UC. And that is a perfect opportunity to introduce what we're doing at the ESRI conference this year in 2008. Joe and I will both be there, and we are asking for your help in covering this incredibly large event. And here's what we'd like you to do. We'd like you to go to the ESRI conference. I'm sure many of you are already planning to do that. Keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, and when you find some interesting tidbit or a big story that you'd like to share, we want you to do that by sending us an email at editors@directionsmag or by calling our audio comment line at 206-984-4409. We'll have all that in the show notes as well. And tell us what you've seen. We're going to ask you to share about 300 words via text message or an email or a two-minute audio comment. And then we're going to use those in our coverage at Directions Magazine and All Points Blog, and perhaps in this podcast, to enhance our coverage. Now, the best part of this contest is that the best contribution will be selected, and whoever submitted that will receive an iPod Touch. And that's why we're asking that when you send that email or leave that message, you do include an email address. We won't be sharing that in our coverage. We will give you credit, and we want you to include your first name, but we'll use that email just to contact you if you should be the winner of the iPod Touch. We'll provide a link to the complete details. You'll want to take that phone number and probably store it in your cell phone. It's probably best to leave your comment right when you think of it, because that's when you're the most excited and probably will have the most to say. And we look forward to reading and hearing all the contributions. Thanks for joining us today for the Directions on the News podcast. We'll see you next week, and be sure to tell a friend.